The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
We're going to continue the series I began several weeks ago. And I interrupted it last week because of 9/11. But getting back into it, I want to go back to this concept of top saints. All right, being a top saint. We spoke from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10, is our text for this series. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we are God's workmanship. God created us. Remember, I spoke to you about how when a craftsman makes something that's very, very special, it's collectible. Something, you know, really prized. You know, we often think of jewelry as being a great workmanship. Well, you are God's jewelry, if you will. God has crafted you, but not to just sit on a shelf, but that you might do the works that God has called you to do. So that's what the whole concept is. And we're going to cover a lot of things, and have covered some things about top saints. Win souls, they disciple others, they give, they pray, and they grow. In the first sermon, we talked about what it takes to be a top saint. 2 weeks ago, we spoke about how top saints talk with God. And today, we want to discuss the topic of why top saints care about others. Why top saints care about others. I'm going to show you a passage of Scripture that's very familiar to you. We're going to look at it in some depth this morning. Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40, all right? This is Jesus speaking. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Wow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It is awe-inspiring for us to hear it and to read it. And we thank you for the privilege of allowing us to have it here today in our Bibles and in electronic medium, that we can look at it and study it and be blessed by it. Lord, cause the reading of your word, cause the hearing of your word, cause the study of your word to go deep into our innermost being and to change us into what you would have us to be. We listen attentively to the words of the Spirit today, and we thank you, Father, in the precious name of Jesus our Lord. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. The imagery is repeated over and over again about the interdependence between believers, that we're dependent upon each other. In fact, the word church, and you've been around churches for a while, you know this to be true, that word literally means a called out assembly, called out of the world to assemble together. That's what we do. In fact, I think one of the best named scripturally named denominations is the Assemblies of God. I think that it gets the real heart of the matter, what the church really is. Now, we don't belong to that particular denomination, but I like their name. And they could join us if they want. They'd be fine with us. They can join in with us. We're okay. Our name is not very scriptural, non-denominational. I mean, but that's... Actually, we're not non-denominational. We're all denominational. We'll let anybody in. Doesn't matter. But we're interdependent upon one another. You know, the concept of being able to be off on your own and be a believer, you know, it might make sense to a person who says that, but it doesn't make any sense in the light of the Scriptures. There's no evidence in the Scriptures of that mindset. And people say that because... They've been to church and they didn't like it. They went to church and somebody didn't treat them well. The pastor said something that rubbed their fur the wrong way. Or they've just got a mindset that they can do it all by themselves. Well, if that's your mindset, I hate to tell you, but it can be your mindset, but you can be wrong. And you are wrong about that. We are knit together. We're like a tapestry. We're a painting that's created by the hand of God. We're His workmanship, and He intends for us to be together. He likes it when we get together. It's when we're together that awesome things happen. Say, well, I could worship God by myself. Well, you can, but trust me, it's a lot better when you get together with other folks. Is that not true? And where you got 10, it's great, but where you got 20, it's greater. And when you got 20, it's great, but when you got 200, it's greater. And when you got 200, it's great, but if you can get 20,000, it's greater. I went to a meeting of the a group, what was that group that was the men, where all the men were meeting? Promise Keepers, thank you. I went to the Superdome for a Promise Keepers meeting, and they, I don't know how many people they had there, but I'm sure it was 30,000 in that neck of the woods, somewhere around there. They had a worship time that I'm telling you, it was beyond my description to give it. It was like today, raised to the power of 10. It was incredible. I mean, you could feel the worship. It was all men worshiping God, and it was just incredible. It's something happens when God's people get together, and the more, the merrier, if I can use that expression. We are told to pray together, and we do. And we can pray at home, but when we gather together, like during our time of prayer and fasting that we call occasionally, like we had a couple of weeks ago, something happens when you get more people together to pray. We war together in the Spirit. It's one thing for you to go spiritual warfare by yourself, but when you have others with you, something awesome happens. I remember many years ago, there's a good friend of mine who was dying of cancer, and we got a group of seven men and went to pray for him. And as we prayed for him, he was instantaneously healed of cancer. Now, it wasn't what, you know, this wasn't a make-believe. This was the real deal. This guy was dying. His wife was taught by the doctors how to give him morphine shots. This was before they had hospice, to give him morphine shots just to keep the pain down until he died. And we went there. And this guy was raised up, and he's still walking around today, 100% healed. But it was the warring together. One person's prayers, I hate to say this because it sounds like our individual prayers aren't valuable, but it's something happens when you war together in situations like that. We fellowship together. The word fellowship means that we have things in common. You know what? I have more in common with the people in this room and the believers watching over the internet than I do with some members of my own flesh and blood family. I have more in common with you. There's more reason to have fun together with you than it is to have a relationship with them. Not that I don't love them and I don't care about them, but there's some element that's missing, all right? You know, we're not a body, but we are the body of Christ. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit more detail a little bit later on. And finally, when the great trumpet of God sounds and the voice of the of God is heard, we will be called home together. You won't go and me come later. I won't go and you come later. But we all get to go together at that moment in time. Those who are alive will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, will be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air. Those who are asleep in Christ in the grave will be raised up. We shall all meet the Lord together in the air. Do you see the idea of our interdependence and our interrelationship? So we all get called home together. We'll all be ushered into the throne room together. We'll all see God in all His majesty and glory together. You getting the picture? This is all going to happen together. We are co-sheep under one shepherd. And we're, so, you know, and I've heard preachers say this, and, you know, I think you'll get it. The idea and the concept of us being angry with one another or separated from one another or disappointed in one another ought to not be found in the kingdom of God. We ought to be loving each other. And when we realize that one of us has a flaw, that we're willing to overlook those things and to maintain our fellowship. We don't have to agree 100% on everything. I don't have a litmus test for you to be here. You know, all of you that know me very well, at least pretty well, I've never said, well, you had to believe everything I believe to be here. You know, as I tell you often, I don't believe everything I believe. How in the world could you possibly believe everything I believe? You know, I'm confused a lot of times. I proved that last week when I had to go back and correct something that I said wrong. But I do believe in the same Christ that you believe in, and that ought to knit us together so tight that we can never be separated. You know, y'all have heard of the musk oxen. You know what that musk oxen is from up in Alaska? It's a real fuzzy-looking thing. It's got the funny-looking horn. Kind of looks like a buffalo, but the horns go up. And they got this long hair goes all the way down. If you haven't seen a musk oxen, my goodness, go to the internet and look it up. They're cute little critters. Actually, they're ugly as sin. But the thing about the musk oxen is this. They'll have a herd of them around, but if danger comes, you know what they do? They get in a circle and they all face outward. And they take the young and the frail and they put them in the middle. Now, that's a picture of what the church ought to be like. And when the enemy comes around, we take the young and those who maybe aren't as strong as they should be and we put them in the middle and we protect them. Those of us who are able and strong and serving God for a while. This idea of fighting one another and getting mad at one another and, you know, and just throwing in the towel and running off down the street looking for another place to go is just, it's just not in the scriptures, I'm telling you. It's just not there. To the contrary, we ought to be gathered together. That doesn't mean that sometimes God doesn't move us to another place. And it's all right if God has moved you. But if he's moving you and you're angry with somebody and you're moving angry, you're moving for all the wrong reasons, okay? So, we're co-sheep under this one shepherd. Now, let's look at some of the reasons why top saints care about other people, all right? And the first thing is top saints care because of the common suffering that we all experience. Let's look back at our passage of Scripture again, Matthew 25. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Okay? For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. There's a commonness about what goes wrong in a person's life. And as the passage of Scripture says, don't think it's strange when these things come to you, these things happen in your life, as if it was you're the only one that it happens to. We all experience these things in our own life. We experience the same kind of hardship. In fact, the abnormality of life is the absence of suffering. Now, I know that's contrary to some of the pop teaching from some of the pulpits that we should be completely free from all suffering and hardship and worry and all the things that come along. I've known some mighty saints of the Lord, some really awesome people, but they all have struggles in their lives sooner or later. It's just the way it is on this planet. And if you live long enough, God gives you the grace to live long enough to be 50, 60, 70, or 80, or 90, you're going to find that there are things that are going to go wrong in your body. You know, may not like it, and it may be, you know, say, you know, I'm healed of these things, and you can be healed of them, but I'm telling you, this thing's wearing out. I mean, it's just, I had to do something yesterday. I forget what it was, and I was going to do it. I remember when I was, you know, in my 20s, I could have picked this thing up and wouldn't even thought about it. And this time I had a, and I sounded like my grandpa. Went down to get it. I said, darn, this getting old is terrible. You know, I just don't like it. But it's just a fact of life. You know, we're all going to experience things. We're going to experience times of loneliness. We experience times of depression. We experience times of, the whole world is against me. And it's in those times that we really need each other. You say, I understand. It's okay. Let me pray for you. You know, let me be a part of your life. Let's go drink some coffee together. Let me help cheer you up. Let me do something. You know, I told you this whole story. It's one of my favorite stories. And if you haven't heard it before, you're going to hear it today. Of the little boys who were going out in the neighborhood, knocking on the doors. And whoever opened the door, the little boys just said, cheer, cheer, cheer. And this one lady said, what are you boys doing? Said, we're cheering up the neighborhood. You know, sometimes you need to go cheer up the neighborhood. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. There's just something about when you're down, somebody cheering you up. It's not to ignore what's going on in your life, but to be there. Sometimes you don't know what to say when someone's going through a real trauma. Maybe they have lost someone. I had a good friend of mine who lost his wife, and it was just a horrible situation. She was dying in an automobile accident, and I went to see him, and I told him, I said, Roger, I said, man, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to tell you. But I just grabbed him. I just hugged him. So I just want you to know I'm going to be with you through this thing. When you want to cry, man, I'll cry with you. If you want to laugh, I'll laugh with you. If you want to talk about your wife, I'll talk about her. If you want to talk, whatever you want to do, I'm telling you, I am with you through this thing. Amen. And I didn't plan to say that when I saw him, but I was so inadequate for the moment that I just told him what was on my heart. And I kept my word to him, and I did walk him through that, and God healed him through it. And but I think you get the point that people are hungry, they're thirsty, they're alone, they're naked, they're sick, they're in prison. And it may be that they're spiritually hungry. It may be that they're spiritually thirsty. You may know somebody that's just in the bondage of legalism, and they need somebody to shed some new light in their lives scripturally, and to go see them and talk to them about the scriptures and not beat them over the head with the scriptures, but to go help someone. They're having a hard time dealing with the situation. The issue is, what do we do about suffering? Do we ignore it and play like it doesn't exist? I got a man that I know that whenever you ask him how he's doing, he says, I have such a peace about me. Everything is wonderful. Everything is wonderful. I don't have any problems in the world. I'm just wonderful. Get out of here. It's not true. You can lie to yourself, but every day is not a great day. Some days you wake up and you feel bad. Some days you're not emotionally strong. Some days you're on top of the world, but some days you're in the bottom of the world. I mean, it's just the facts. We can't ignore those things. You know, we're so good with our church faces, walking to church. How you doing? Hey, I'm doing great. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You're not doing great. You know, learn to read people. Say, what's the matter with you? What's going on, Millie? Is something going on in your life? Don't tell me the truth, huh? Don't give me the answers that you want me to hear. Tell me the truth. I can't help you if you won't tell me the truth. And that's the way we need to be with one another. We need to be caring and realizing that we all go through those things, because today you may be on top of the world and you can help someone else. Tomorrow you might be in the pits and someone needs to help you. Amen. You need to hear from someone to encourage you, to build you up on your faith. It's, in fact, the scriptures talk about we're to build one another up on our most holy faith. If everything's perfect, why would the scriptures say that? You know, we all go through these times. We can seek God and we can ask him, what he'd have us to do. Let me tell you one of the ways God works, and I think sometimes we miss opportunities to help people. You'll have a dream about somebody. You know, you have dreams, you can't even remember what they are. You wake up and you just remember, oh, you know, it was a dream about Errol. That would be a nightmare. No. I can say that to Errol because I love him, you know. You know, but you might have a dream about me, which would be a great dream, you know. Don't just slough that off. The Holy Spirit put that in your heart during the night hours to pray for me, to pray for Errol, to think, okay, Lord, I don't know what's going on in their life, but take the moment to pray. You may be looking at a TV program, and one of the characters will suddenly remind you of someone that you know. Just stop right there and pray for that individual. We miss the opportunities to minister to people because we don't realize that the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to understand something and to hear from that person because they need help at that moment in time. And you can pray for them and you can help them. Sometimes grace Christians, of which I would identify us, you know, we realize we're free from the law, you know, we're under God's grace, you know, we're not worried about keeping all the litany of things that you need to do, that Jesus did all that for us. And if you're listening or you're here and you don't understand that, you need to get some of my teachings, all right? I can't do it all right now, but I believe that you understand what I'm saying. But we sometimes feel that we can't do anything unless we, you know, unless the Spirit leads us. You know, we need to be led of the Spirit to do anything. And I understand that, and that's true. I don't want to do anything I'm not led of the Spirit. Well, let me tell you something. When these folks go out to New Orleans every week to feed the hungry, and somebody's hungry, and they get a meal, they didn't feel necessarily led by the Spirit to feed that individual, but you know what? The person gets fed. Sometimes doing something good for someone, whether or not you feel led by the Spirit, still gets something good done. And I believe the more you do to help people that you have no way of gaining anything back, I believe those are those special times when you may be doing something for the Lord and never realize it. That passage of Scripture said, we didn't see you hungry. Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you in prison? Heavens knows, Jesus is not in prison. You know, how could that happen? And he said, well, if you've done it for the least of these, my brethren, you never know. Scripture says sometimes we entertain angels unaware. We don't know what all that we're doing. But if we'll just have that realization that when people have needs, to do what we can to help them. If it's just a pleasant word. You ever go to the grocery store sometime or shopping in the store and whoever the clerk is, you know, they ring you up and they say, that's $12.23. And you know they're not in a good mood. You know. My normal thing is to say, here's your $12.23. Now let me get out of here. Or you could just say, hey, how's your day going?
Yeah.
And it'll tell you. Not good. Is it your boss? Say, yeah. And you'll be amazed what strangers will tell you if you just act interested in their lives. Now, if you got 20 people in line at Walmart waiting behind you, you don't want to have this long conversation, all right? But you can encourage people. You can say, hey, listen, I know I don't have time to talk to you right now, but I want you to know that God loves you and cares about you. And I believe he sent me here today just to tell you that God loves you. You never know what that might do in a person's life. You never know what's going on when you're not there. That might encourage people. Yes, or give them one of the pens from New Beginnings Church. That's what Daryl does. He brings those pens out and gives them away. He's going to break us giving those pens away, but I love it. I didn't buy those pens to sit around in this building. I bought them to give out to people. We need to have a bigger vision, and we need to see with compassion. You know, you sang part of that today, Aubrey, in that one song about compassion. We need to have compassion. The Message translation says this about compassion, about Jesus. It said it broke his heart. Absolutely broke his heart. And we need to be compassionate. We need to learn how to let our hearts break by the things that we see. And realize that people need help. Amen. If it's just a word, if it's just a cup of water, if it's just a friendly voice, if it's just an invitation to church, if it's just say, can I pray for you? You know, I'll say never. There's only one time, I want to make sure I'm telling you the truth here. There's only one time I can ever remember when I asked someone if I could pray for them, but they told me no. Only one time. You usually ask people, can I pray for you? They'll say, yeah. And then you can surprise them and pray for them right there. You don't have to have a long prayer. God bless this person. I've never met them before, but you've been knowing them since they were conceived in their mother's womb. Lord, whatever their needs are, would you meet their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ's name? Amen. That's all you need, a little simple prayer. And watch what God will do. But you do it out of a compassionate heart. I went and looked up every place where people prayed for people. And just to kind of categorize them, there's more than I wanted to give you the litany for this morning. But he found people who were harassed. He found people who were helpless. In one place it says they were helpless like sheep without a shepherd. How many times do you meet people like that in your life? Who are just having such a hard, hard time. Maybe somebody on your job. Somebody in your neighborhood. He said Jesus had compassion on the crowds. He looked around. How often do you see a crowd and never see individuals? Jesus was able to look past the crowd to see the individuals. And when he saw those individuals, he did something about it. He had compassion on sinners. I love the story. I love this story. They got some guys who have a sick friend. And their friend is so sick and he's crippled up. And they let me just paraphrase it for you in the language. They get together, you know, George and Tommy and Don and Mike and Roe. We get together and say, what are we going to do about Bob? We got to get him over to Jesus. And there ain't no way we're going to get past that crowd. And Mike says, tear the roof off the building and let him in. What a way. I never thought about that. So they run down there. They get to the building that Jesus is in. They go. They rip the roof off. They let the guy down right in the middle of where Jesus is. You got to love these guys. You got to love them. And Jesus says, what the heck? What are you guys doing? You know, you got to be there. You got to be real. What are you doing? And they lay him down through the roof right in front of him. And Jesus looks at him. And he looks at those guys on the roof and he says, your sins are forgiven. Can you feel that pregnant moment? A couple of people there said, who is this guy that can forgive sins? Who is he? And Jesus hears them and knows their heart. And he looks at them and says, so that you will know that I have the power to forgive sins, he says to the man, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And so he did. But he went to the heart of the matter. The man could have been lame all his life and died lame, and it wouldn't have made a hill of beans to most of the world or to him. But his problem was sin, and Jesus dealt with sin and forgave him. Jesus didn't condemn him. He said, you rotten sinner, you, no wonder you're crippled. You deserve it. And your parents deserved you as a cripple because of how horrible they were. You remember the day when the blind man went with his disciples? And they said, whose sin? Was it this man or was it his parents? And Jesus said, no, nobody's sin. This is for the glory of God. And he healed the man and he saw. I could go through story after story after story for you here this morning. But are you getting the point that he saw needs and he met those needs out of compassion? I read a little story about compassion. It said, finding his newly appointed pastor standing at his study window in the church weeping as he looked over the inner city's tragic conditions, a layman sought to console him. Don't worry. After you've been here a while, you'll get used to it. The minister responded, yes, I know. That's why I'm crying. Yes, I know. That's why I'm crying. Have you gotten cold? Have you forgotten to be compassionate? You're just buzzing through people's lives and just get them out of the way and you don't have time, too much energy. I'm saved and on the way to heaven. Sinners deserve that. They're broken, living, homeless. I'm go. Person's in a rotten mood. Get over it. Get a life. You're the body of Christ. Is there not one ounce of compassion left in us to help? You know why we have the pinheads in Washington trying to bring help to people? Because the church has lost its compassion. If we'd do the job, we wouldn't need to send money to them to do the job. We got people on food stamps because people won't help people when they need food. It never used to be that way. Everybody knew everybody in the town. When there were people who needed medical help, the doctors would do it for free. Or businessmen would get together the money and pay for it. There was a guy in our town who needed some false teeth. Some of the local guys had a little coffee club, knew about it. They gathered enough money, they went to see a dentist, and they asked him how much he would charge to get this man some teeth. And he knocked his price down to just what the bare minimum would be, and that man got him a set of false teeth. Because some people had compassion. They didn't go to the government. They said, go get your Medicare or your Medicaid or something else. They just did it because it needed to be done. It's an awesome story. Let's rekindle the fires of compassion in our hearts, all right? All right, second thing I want to talk to you about. Top saints care because of a common solution. There is a common solution to the problems of the world. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, I want you to really pay attention to this as we read it, all right? If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, in other words, are you encouraged? I mean, if you can't be encouraged in this church service this morning, I don't know what to do for you. You know, the time of worship we had, this great preaching from this awesome preacher, you know, if that doesn't encourage you, I don't know what to do for you. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, are you comforted by the love of God? When you know, Roe, isn't it encouraging when God gives you a word like you had this morning? I mean, it's encouragement enough. You might have not seen it, but his eyes got all teary-eyed, big old burly man like him, crying in church. I mean, what the heck is that? He got encouraged, and you felt the love of God speaking to your heart. If there's any common sharing in the Spirit, we all have one Spirit. There's only one Lord, one Spirit, one God, one faith, one baptism. There's only one, and we all have that in common. If there's any tenderness and compassion, and we've felt it, we've experienced the tenderness of other believers, the tenderness of God in our lives, and that compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Boy, these are words of exhortation. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility. If you got a razor blade, just cut this out of your Bible, all right? Because this couldn't be true. In humility, value others above yourselves. You mean to tell me that Tommy O'Reilly is more valuable than I am? It couldn't be true. He's a nice guy, but he's not better than me. You know, God couldn't, I wouldn't want God to love him more than he loves me. I wouldn't want God to take care of Tommy better than he takes care of me. That couldn't possibly be true. Value Tommy above yourselves, not looking to your own interests. Wait a minute. My own interests are important. I pray about my stuff before I pray about your stuff. I take care of me and mine before I take care of yours. But each of you to the interest of the others in your relationship with one another have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. I don't know who put that in the Bible, but that is life-changing words for each of us. To change our focus and our perspective. To start looking at other people in the right way. I was with Pat and I were with a couple this past week. And we went to a restaurant together, and I have a little thing that I do. Somebody taught it to me, and I do it. They said, when you go into a restaurant or you go someplace, pick out the best seat and then give it to somebody else. It's just kind of a, he said it's a good way to demonstrate your servant heart, whether or not you really have a servant heart. So we did that, and I don't know how the subject came up. I don't know why it came up, but the couple we were with figured it out. They said, you gave us a seat. And I said, well, yeah, I got caught, all right? Well, it's, you don't always want to get caught because then it's kind of embarrassing, for it's an embarrassing moment. But to be able to do those kinds of things, let somebody else in line ahead of you. You know, when you're in a grocery store and you've got your basket filled with stuff and there's some poor schmuck behind you with milk and bread that his wife sent him to get, don't make him wait 20 minutes for you to get through. Listen, come on, buddy, get in line. Come on, get up here. You know? When you do something, I appreciate people with a good servant attitude. My buddy George here, he knows that I get busy up here after services and I can't get back in and give me a cup of coffee. Well, George gets me a cup of coffee every week and gives it to me. I really appreciate that. I mean, I really do. I'm not doing it to pump George, but he can be pumped. I mean, it's all right. He needs a little pump. Anybody as bald as him needs somebody to pump him up. I didn't ask George to do that. He just saw a need and just filled it. He thought of me as being more important than himself and bring me a cup of coffee. But to do that for anyone and everyone, that's demonstrated the mindset of Christ. That's who Christ wants us to be. There's this common solution, and the common solution is the Christ that dwells within us. Believers see things differently because of the new birth that we have. I've got to tell you this. And you know, Errol was talking with Roe earlier when he said about when we were in the world, playing music in the world, how different it was than now playing music for the Lord. When Christ changes us, we ought to see things differently. We ought to see people differently, and we ought to want to be different. I think we've gotten, I hate to use this word, but it's a scriptural word, I think we've gotten lukewarm. We've just gotten kind of comfortable, and we don't want to be upset. You know, I wish the preacher would hurry up. We got a ball game on today. The Saints are playing, and I don't want to miss a kickoff. You know, we get this rushing of things. You know, I try not to rush us around here on Sunday morning. You know, I always have a plan, but, you know, my plan's subject to change. God, let God do something. Because your needs and my needs are more important than my plans. We ought to be sharing this same experience that we have with the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, isn't it great to know your sins are forgiven? Isn't it great to know that God loves you? Isn't it great to study the Scriptures and find all those good things? Isn't it great? Doesn't God make you feel good sometimes? In the midst of feeling crummy, God can make you feel good. So people sometimes, they get sick and they don't come to church. They say, where were you? Oh, I wasn't feeling too good, so I didn't come to church. Get yourself out of that bed and go to church. I come to church feeling bad. I'm the pastor. I mean, you expect me to be here, right? I'll tell you this, some mornings I just soon not be here. I'll just be honest with you, I don't feel good. I'm depressed. I had a bad week. I don't like the sermon. I read it and I don't like it. I want another sermon and I don't have anything else prepared. You know, all the reasons in the world not to be here. But every time I come, I walk out of these doors better than I walked in these doors. Every time. Every time. Every time. This encouragement, this sharing of ourselves and our experiences experiencing this compassion of Christ and being willing to share it. I want somebody else just to be as happy as I am. You know, I want them to enjoy what God's doing in my life. You know, I don't want to just keep it all for myself. I just spread it around so that we can enjoy the moment together. Let me tell you, one of the best ways to find out if you got a good attitude about other people is when you get in a conversation with them one-on-one. Is it more important what you say or what they say? I'll give you a classic example of that. You ever notice the news people, when they bring in somebody and they ask these important, these questions, they go on and on and on with these elaborate questions. And when the guy goes to answer, and sometimes the camera will shoot back at them, they're not even paying a bit of attention to what the guy's saying. They're down looking at their notes, getting that next question ready to impress them what they know. They don't care what they say. They only care what they ask. Do you treat people that way? Hey, man, how you doing? How's your family? Well, my mother's not doing well. You know, my mother was sick. You know, she had a bunion on her toe. Man, it was giving her so much trouble. You know, I had to take her to the doctor. My car wouldn't work. I had to get somebody to give me a ride to get my mother. And you go on and on. And the poor person you asked about their mother had a story to tell, and you never listened to it. Ouch! Wouldn't that hurt? How often do we do that instead of try to be compassionate to people? When you ask a question, I used to be in sales, and one of the things they did in the training in sales, they said, when you ask a question, shut up. And let the person speak and hear what they got to say. Encouragements are to be given away and not to be hoarded. It said, be like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and one mind. In humility, value others as more important than yourselves. And in your relationship, have the same mindset as Christ. The solution to suffering is Christ working through you to other people. Now, the theologians of the world and the theologians in church would say, well, if a person has a need, God can meet that need. Oh, why didn't Jesus think that way? Saw the blind guy. Father, you just go ahead and heal him because, I don't have time to do that right now. I'm on my way to Bethlehem or wherever he was going. Nobody stopped. And he healed people. And he fed people. And he compared. Great story. Get this multitude of people. They come to hear Jesus speak. I mean, he's a great speaker. He drew a crowd. Everything's good. It's getting late in the day. People are hungry. And they go to Jesus and they say, the people are hungry. And we need to let them go so they can go get something to eat. And it says, and Jesus had compassion on the crowd because they were hungry. Nothing great theologically going on here. I know I've heard the theologians, and I've probably done it myself. Well, they were hungry for the Word of God. They were hungry for heaven. They were hungry. Folks, they hadn't eaten all day. They were hungry. And Jesus said, what do you boys got to eat? He said, some kid here, he's got a couple of fish and some bread. That's all we got. He said, that's enough. It's enough. And he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. And they went out and gave it. And you know the rest of the story. But he had compassion. He gave God the opportunity to do something really great by being compassionate, using the solution that Christ offers. You feed the hungry. You gave drink. You clothed. You visited. That's what the passage of Scripture that we used earlier said. You did it. You did it. You did it. Let me tell you what's going to get done by the kingdom of God in the world is going to be done by you. And if we don't do it, it won't get done. Your neighbor is going to get encouraged because you talk to your neighbor. The person on the job with you is going to have a good day because you help make their day good. The person who's hungry in the streets is going to eat because you gave them food. Amen. I'm going to tell you something that you know, but I don't think you know it. All right? You know this, but I don't think you know it. Everybody understands we're the body of Christ. Is that true? Amen. When Jesus was here, did he have a body? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, this is not a trick question, all right? Did he have a body? Yes or no? Yes, he did, all right? How many places could Jesus be at one time? Uno. It's not trick questions. These are easy. I'm going to be harder later, but these are easy, all right? He's got one body. He can be at how many places?
One place.
That's very good. All right. Now, things have changed. Jesus goes to the cross, Jesus dies, Jesus comes out of the grave, resurrected body. How many places could Jesus be at one time in his resurrected body? How many? How many? It's only one place at a time, folks. That's what if you can find in the scriptures more than one place at one time, you let me know, because I haven't seen it yet. Said, well, he had a spiritual body. He could do everything. But, he said, boys and girls, I don't want you to do anything until the Spirit of God comes. And when the Spirit comes, things are going to be different. The day of Pentecost came. Holy Spirit showed up. Things began to change rapidly. Whole world was turned upside down. Paul says, you are the body of Christ. Here's what I want you to understand. Jesus did stuff in one body, one at a time. Did he not? Okay, yes. Now, how does Jesus get things done today? In his body. How many places can his body be today?
Wherever the believers are.
This may be a bad application, but I think it's got legs. Jesus said, greater things than I've done, you'll do. And I think the greater is, in, at least in some measure, the fact that all these things can happen simultaneously. Right now, simultaneously, around the globe, the body of Christ is at work. People are getting fed. People are getting healed. People are being encouraged. People are being led to the Lord. Sins are being forgiven. All of this is happening now in this great way around the world because we are the body of Christ. And we cannot say that one part of the body is better than another or one part is more important than another because they're all important. Amen. Isn't that what the Scripture says?
Amen.
So that we all have a job to do. When you hurt a part of your body, doesn't it slow you down? You ever just been kind of like fooling with paper, like in an office, and the paper cuts your finger? You can't even see it. But if you put a little salt, you see, what is that? Yeah. And then it starts bugging you all day until it finally heals up. Hurt your toe. I got a corn on my toe. Oh, man. I'm walking around like this. Can't wait to get to the podiatrist to get that fixed. The whole body gets slowed down because of a dumb toe. See, if we don't work together to do the job, the body of Christ gets slowed down. We need to be working in unison to do the job that needs to be done. Make sure that we're all of the mindset, the same mindset, to bring this compassion of Christ to the world. That is our job. I want to bring you to the last part of this sermon, and it's a brief part of the sermon. Top saints care because of an uncommon Savior. This passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 34. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, we were talking about that earlier, weren't we? When He comes in His glory and all the angels are with Him, woo, what a sight that's going to be, right? He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him. He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." What an awesome day that'll be. What about the goats? "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." The Muslims, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the unbelievers of every stripe can have compassion and care for the multitudes, but they cannot save one single solitary soul. That privilege has been reserved for the body of Christ. And of all the things we may do, and there's so much to be done, of all those we could feed and bring water to and clothe and visit and heal, of all those things that we could do, it is nothing compared to the privilege that we have of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world so that every single solitary soul that we meet can come into the kingdom. It is our primary objective, our primary job, to preach the good news of the kingdom and feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the imprisoned, heal the sick, try to end suffering. Those are all good things, but they all must be following the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these signs shall follow those that believe. It's our major undertaking is to tell the world about this uncommon Savior. We must show His ultimate compassion by telling the story of Jesus. I love to tell the story of Jesus and His glory. The old, old story of Jesus and His love. Be like Jesus when you go to people and you meet them. Help them get their sins forgiven. And if they're crippled, pray for them to be healed. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We care because we have a common suffering, we have the solution, and we have an uncommon Savior. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your word. Thank You for letting us study here this morning. Father, stir my heart to see with the eyes of Christ, to look upon the multitudes, Lord, upon the crowds, but to look upon the individuals that I meet day by day, that I might help them along the way, and that I might bring the good news of Christ to them. Lord, let each one of us pray that prayer in our own hearts and minds and resolve to care about others because You have cared about us. And we thank You, Father. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. And amen. Let me encourage you. First of all, thank you for being here today. Appreciate you coming. Those of you watching by the internet, God bless you. Thank you that you were able to join us. Next week, God willing, I want to talk about a subject about how or why top saints know how to give. Do you know how to give? Maybe not. Say, well, all those preachers do is talk about money. Oh, no, they don't. Not this preacher. But I want to talk to you about giving from a scriptural perspective. Some of you, the only thing you know about giving is, well, we're supposed to tithe, and we can rob God, because it says it in Malachi, you can rob God but not give in your tithes. Well, I have yet to meet the person who's big enough to rob God. I don't know how to do it.